What it do, party people? Welcome to That Arena Rock Show, the podcast. Dudes, dudettes, this is Nikki Starr, and that beautiful jam you're hearing is actually our very own Geddy Rose. He's working on his very first solo album titled My Name Is E. Check him out on Apple Music, Spotify, and wherever you can download music under My Name Is E. MyNameIse. This is the first episode of That Arena Rock Show, the podcast. My co-host, Seabass, and I will be talking all kinds of cool stuff that has to do with 70s and 80s arena rock music. We're going to talk our favorite albums. We're going to talk our favorite bands. We're going to try to tell you stuff that maybe you've never heard before about some of these bands. And we're just going to have a whole lot of fun. We are going to have episode one be an interview with the whole band, That Arena Rock Show. So we had a show this weekend, August 8th, at Riverfront Live in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was absolutely awesome. It was our first show back since the pandemic. We played a show February 29th at Bogart's, and after that, that was our last live show. We haven't played in, what is it, 5 or 6 months. So this was our first show back since then. And it just was awesome. I was kind of worried because it was a social distancing concert. So I was afraid that was going to take away from, you know, what we do, but I was pleasantly surprised that it didn't. It was actually really cool. Everyone was, you know, had to sit down in their own little squares. But you were allowed to stand up, but it was so freaking cool to sit there and watch all these people finally be able to get outside and enjoy a night around other people and just have a great time. And it was a safe environment. There was definitely a couple times on stage that I got goosebumps looking out and seeing everybody and just being like, man, how blessed are we? Because, you know, not very many bands are getting to go out and do anything right now. Bands can't tour. Shows are getting canceled left and right. We're very blessed to have even had an opportunity. So a big shout out to Live Loud Concerts, Rob Thomas, and Weston Hebert, our booking agent, for hooking that one up. All the crew at Riverfront Live are absolutely awesome. Tim and Jordan, the owners, great people to work with. They're always so accommodating. They actually were cool with us sitting there and recording the podcast. They opened up the place early for us to come in and do it, which was really, really cool because they didn't have to do that. And all the crew down there, Kevin Pike, the sound guy, he runs sound at Riverbend. I remember last year when we played, he told me the night before he mixed Keith Urban at a private show at Riverbend the night before. And I'm like, what? What are you doing here to run our sound? So it's always good to see him. The light guy was great. Tony Adams is always really cool to be around. He was the stage runner, kind of just handled any needs that the band needs and, accommodated the guest list and all that kind of stuff. And he's always awesome to work with. Great guy. Me and him sat around and talked vinyl and, old record equipment and all kinds of cool stuff. So it was just so good to see people again. I think that's what's been so weird about this whole pandemic is that you don't get to see the people that you're used to seeing anymore all the time. So it just means a little more when you finally do get to go out and see a bunch of people. Thank you to Riverfront Live. Thank you to Live Loud Concerts. Thank you, Weston. And, we had an absolute blast. I can't wait to do it again. I hope, honestly, we get to do it before the end of the year. We do have a show coming up September 19th at JD Legends in Franklin, Ohio. Really cool place to see a show. They also have a social distance kind of setup that they're going to be doing for that show. More details will be coming out about that soon. Anyways, we got there early to Riverfront Live. We got there about noon. We set up all this equipment to record the podcast. We set up video equipment, but the video didn't end up working out, but all the audio did. So we have it here, and we are going to share with you the audio from the day. Basically, Seabass from the podcast Rockin' with Seabass is interviewing the band, asking us a bunch of different questions, a lot of fun questions, a lot of cool questions that we might not have been asked in the past. So it was kind of cool to just have a fun conversation. It's about 30, 35 minutes long. It's not too long, but it is enough to where I think you will be able to sit and listen to the whole thing and enjoy it. And we hope you do. Again, this is episode one. We're going to do a lot more where we talk all kinds of different things, mainly just rock and roll and music. And we're going to have subjects and talk albums, talk band history, talk all kinds of cool stuff. Make sure you tune in. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope that you enjoy it. But anyways, I will quit rambling and get on with the podcast. So without further ado, here is That Arena Rock Show, interviewed by Seabass.
So what's up, y'all? This is Seabass from Rockin' from Seabass. That's the name of my podcast. And this is the Arena Rock Show podcast, actually. I'm here with the Arena Rock Show guys. This is Tristan, or T-Bone.
Yes, indeed.
And who are you?
I don't remember.
Nicky Starr.
Oh, Nicky Starr, that's it.
Yeah.
And you?
Imbecile. Getty Rose.
Getty Rose, yeah, that guy. And what about you?
Jack the Ripper.
Okay, and how about you?
Ryan Rocket.
Ryan Rocket. What do you do, Ryan?
I am the drummer.
Oh, that's very cool. You have a really good big set, you know that?
Thank you.
Big set of what?
Oh, man, that was good. That was good. All right. Well, you know, I wanted you guys to come up here. I really thank you for coming down here to perform the show and everything. I know with the situation we had with the COVID. And
yeah,
all that.
Oh, yeah, the show, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind, sorry.
What do you think this place is?
I don't know, dude. I just woke up.
He just woke up. We carried him in here.
About 15 minutes ago, yeah. So it's a wee bit off for me for today.
We actually drove him on a golf cart.
Yes, it's actually back there.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well, I mean, don't fall asleep on me now.
I would not do such a thing.
Yeah, we just flew in to Lunkin Airport, and now we're here. So...
Yeah. Actually, all right. I walked here, so pretty tired.
Yeah,
you missed the golf cart.
Yeah, I missed the pickup time.
The private jet's only for us.
I drove here. I got here 2 hours early, looking around
Why
at the shots.
Why is it called a golf cart when you're not golfing all the time?
Right.
And I believe I saw you out there. Didn't even realize that you were a member. I was looking at you. I was like, hey, it was that guy. Well, really, guys, it is a great honor to have you guys here and everything
to
perform.
Us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I do have a lot of good questions for you guys. Seriously, it's one thing that I really want to know is how did you all meet?
I don't know these guys. So
I thought you were part of the right.
What band is this?
Wait, what?
I've known Nick for a while. Nicky Starr. He and I played in other bands.
Oh, really?
And we'd always talked about doing something together and tossed it around, and then wound up this just happened.
Yeah. Oh, what kind of bands were you guys in?
Other garage bands, local around town, different things. Nicky was always in way bigger bands than I was, and kind of looked up to Nicky for the things he did. So I was always kind of like, hey, Nick, we should start a band, you know? And he called me one day, and lucky enough, here we are.
Oh, look
yeah,
at that.
I kind of knew all the guys. Whether it was from other bands or from, Getty Rose was in a band that I judged the Battle of the Bands one time.
Oh, yeah,
and I thought he was just an amazing talent. And so when I was putting this together, I was like, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And he was all about it. And Ryan, like he said, I met him at, we were in other bands. And then as far as T-Bone goes, I seen a video of him on Facebook. A while back, I think he was singing something, and then I ended up stalking his Facebook for a little bit, and
a bit creepy, but it's cool.
Yeah, so I just asked, asked if he'd be interested in trying something like this, and he was all about it, and then as far as Jack goes, We met him in Aruba on a vacation.
He just kind of showed up.
Yeah.
You look like you just came from the beach.
I did.
How was it?
It was all right.
Meet any pretty ladies there? Any pretty ladies?
I mean, there were people. I don't know if they're pretty, but they were
somebody's straight jamming out here.
Yeah, I can hear music in the background.
It's okay. I'm vibing with it. It's just happening. Yeah.
No, so here's one big thing I have a question for you guys, because you guys have a lot of great ideas you always come up with. You have good stage setup, and you have awesome stage names and all that. Where'd you come up with that? How did you come up with that?
With the stage names?
Oh, yeah, stage names and the entire set and the entire everything.
It's my legal written name.
Oh, no, so T-Bone's your real name?
No.
He was born a baby T-Bone.
A baby T-Bone. Now he's a big T-Bone. Hey! All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, basically, my whole life, you know, when I was playing little sports as a younger lad, you know, baseball, football, soccer, basketball, you name it, I was big into sports, and a lot of times I'd get the nickname like, yo, T-Bone, you up to bat, you know, go ahead and, you know, head up there, so. And it was just kind of a name that stuck around, and like I would always think, like, you know, when I hear T-Bone, I'm like, you talking about that dog on that show, like Clifford or something? Oh no, it's probably not that. It's just something me and my friends came up with, and my grandfather, he actually used to call me that every now and then, so it was always pretty cool to hear my grandfather say that, and just something that kind of stuck with me. Yeah.
So my real name is Nick. So I just went with, of course, Nikki Six. So I went with Nikki. And then as far as Star goes, big Paul Stanley Kiss fan, and Paul's the star child. Mm-hmm. So I thought that'd be kind of cool to be Nikki Star instead of Nikki Six. And so that's just kind of how I came up with that.
Can you shoot lasers out of your eyes?
Only when I'm mad. Only when I'm mad.
Only when you're mad. Yeah. What about you, Getty? How'd you come up with your name?
Well, so my real name is actually E. One letter.
Oh,
so that's an interesting fact about me. But we were throwing this together. I'm like, I kind of, you know, there's a lot of musicians I look up to that I kind of want to pay tribute to that as I'm playing. So I threw that into my stage name and I picked Geddy Lee because, I mean, everybody's got to know Geddy Lee.
Yeah, Geddy Lee.
And Axl Rose, I like the whole like Rose idea. And I'm like, maybe if I blend those two together, Geddy Rose, I kind of like it and I went with it. And it's been with me for since we've been doing this.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Well, what about you, Jack?
My real name is Jack Ryan, and my middle name is Thornton, so my initials were already JTR, and I had, like, branded all of my cases JTR because I didn't want anyone to steal them, so I just came up with something that was the initials JTR, and Jack the Ripper stuck, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, how about you, Ryan? What do you got?
My name's Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Oh, very creative.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, Ryan.
But, you know, one of the bigger drummers in the 80s was Ricky Rocket.
Oh, yeah.
And just Ryan Rocket kind of went together, so just went with that.
Yeah. Do you ever want to put on a lot of makeup just like Ricky did?
Not really. But I do. I can.
Yeah. Honestly, I can't see you doing that.
No.
It's a very pretty look.
I'm in the back, you know. No one cares about me.
Oh, come on. The drummers, everybody loves drummers.
They just want to hear it.
Oh, man. T-Bone, going up from what Nikki said, you sing in karaoke and all that.
Yes, indeed.
How did you go from a singer in a karaoke bar to headlining venues, major clubs in the U.S. and all that?
Well, let me tell you something about that. When you go through a real depressive phase and you just want to say, you know what, I'm going to go out, go to my local bar and just sing a couple karaoke songs. And sure enough, people are like, who's this bearded guy over here that looks like Kenny Loggins and stuff? And yes, I had a beard at the time. It was a phase. It happens. It still happens to this day. But I was going from a time where I just wanted to sing, have fun, and it helped me feel better about things. And I noticed how people just started taking notice and like, you know, this guy can actually sing a little bit. And it actually helped build my confidence. And sure enough, I went to a couple shows of Nicky's here. He threw a guitar pick out one time at a show. I saw the guitar pick. Of course, he's advertising himself. It says, Nikki Star. I actually didn't say Nikki Star at the time. I said Nick last name. I'm not going to talk about it.
Nick last name.
But I saw it, and I was like, you know, I'm going to add the guy on Facebook. I added him on Facebook. And then sure enough, he was seeing some of my videos of where I sang like some Zeppelin and Guns N' Roses. And from there, he messaged me. And the man didn't say, hey, you want to start a band? No, he said, hey, would you like to come over and jam a couple songs out? And sure enough, this man gives me a list about this long. Dear Lord, I'm like, all right, I'll memorize it by Friday.
Friday.
I'll try at least.
Did you?
Well, lucky enough, we didn't go over all the songs. So.
But, we probably made it through like one or two, and three.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know I've always told you countless times, you sound like Phil Lewis from LA Guns.
Oh, thank you.
But like, who do you think you sound like?
Oh, that's a tough question on the spot. It's a tough question not to sound egotistical on either. So,
some people say you sound like the guys from London Choir Boys.
I can see that, yeah, London Choir Boys. I try my best. I've always tried Kevin DeBrow a lot from Quiet Riot.
Okay.
It was like, that's one of my better songs I do.
Mm.
I always felt pretty confident with Zeppelin stuff. With
You Plant. Sound really well with
Plant. I feel pretty confident with that. But, some of my favorite stuff to sing, Kevin.
Yeah, well, I know. I also, you know, your guys' first show at Bogart's, you know, it hit really big, really well. Did you guys expect that? Like, were you guys expecting to really hit that big?
Well, I think the hope is that it's going to be huge. And I thought that it was going to be a good sized audience, but you know, of course I hoped it would hit capacity, but of course that's kind of a far-fetched dream, especially for your first show there. But we were able to put out an incredible lineup of bands, and they all did their work. You know, really the credit to that goes to all the hard work that all the bands did on that show.
Yes, indeed.
And then, yeah, I mean, it was really cool to be playing in front of 1,250 people for our first, you know, actual big headlining show at Bogart's.
That was awesome.
And because of that, it has opened up a lot of doors for us to go and play a lot of Live Nation venues.
Well, you guys play at Seattle, is what I heard?
I'm sorry?
Did you guys play at, not Seattle, sorry. It's the home of the Steelers.
Oh, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. We've been all over. We've done home Pittsburgh. We've done
Steelers. I'm sorry.
Oh,
we don't talk about that. Cincinnati.
Sorry, Ryan.
But yeah, it's opened up. We've been to Cleveland, Indianapolis, Louisville, Lexington. Well, not Lexington yet, but
Philadelphia.
Cleveland. Yeah. Grand Rapids. We played Grand Rapids, Michigan.
What?
Which was
Rapids,
cool.
You played at Grand Rapids?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a cool venue.
I have never been there. I had to go there.
That was the Monroe Live. That was a
Monroe
cool
Live.
Venue. Very cool.
Well, you're going off from all your guys' you know, stage setup and the shows and all that, and you guys becoming big. I have a question for you, Ryan. I kind of mentioned this in the beginning a little bit about your drum kit. Yeah, it's a very big drum kit. Like, how did you set that up, man? It's huge.
You know, there's a fellow who works with us, Greg, and
Gory,
as known as Gory. But it does take help. It's definitely not a one-man show.
Right.
It's a lot of work, but it's definitely worth it, you know, for a project like this.
Oh yeah.
And you know, everybody usually pitches in and helps, but it does take a little bit of everybody to make it happen. It's a lot of gear to move.
Well, I mean, yeah, when I first saw you guys at Bogart's, technically JD Legends was my first show, but when I saw you guys at Bogart's and I saw the setup, I'm like, that thing is huge.
That's kind of been our thing with our stage show is we just want everything on it to just look humongous.
Right.
So we've got these new you know, speaker cabinets that are giant, way bigger than normal speaker cabinets. We've got risers. Basically, we just want to take people back to those times of the 80s where everything was just larger than life, mm-hmm. you know? So that's kind of the idea behind the drum kit, I think.
Just and trying to make everybody feel, you know, like he's saying, take them back to that time. And, you know, and back in that time, everything was huge.
Oh, yeah.
It to 11.
And plus, because 2020 sucks.
It goes up to 11,
yeah, right? Exactly. 2020 is a rough year. Like.
Yeah, it's funny. When I was on the radio, I heard, I don't know who said it, but he was like, 2019, terrible year. 2020 is going to be better. A week later, stuff happens. I'm like,
how'd
that be big?
Well, I'll tack on to what Ryan was saying, where, like, I mean, you've seen the stuff that we have set up, and none of that would be possible without, like, without the help that we have. Like,
right,
we always
absolutely.
Have friends and family always coming and helping us out, and that is, like, we couldn't do it without them. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that.
There's five guys in this group, but there's every bit of 10 that make it happen.
Yep.
You know,
that's right.
The more
there's
you
a lot
have.
Behind scene that you know a lot of people don't see, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of hard work from other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, I mean, I love the intro you guys do and the show with the whole Back to the Future thing.
Oh yeah,
and it plays Scorpions in the background and all this other good stuff, and I'm like, that's clever.
Yes.
Where did you guys come up with that?
Oh, good question. We came up with that. The idea, I think, was kind of like we started to put this audio clip together that kind of sounded like Detroit Rock City's the intro of Detroit Rock City, where mm-hmm. the guy's like at eating dinner and he gets in his car and drives off and he goes to the show, right? So that was the kind of the premise behind it. But we decided to kind of give it like a Back to the Future theme. And so basically the whole idea of that video is you are the person in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You're driving down the street, you're listening to your favorite songs, you start getting the memories of the music videos, and then you're in a DeLorean, so you crank it to 88 and go back in time, and then you're at our show. So that's what it's supposed to set up is basically the show that's coming after, which is a, you know, an 70s, 80s mm-hmm. rock themed show. So.
Oh yeah.
It's exactly 1988.
Yeah, you come back to 1988.
Exactly.
Even though we play songs before 1988.
It's cool. It's cool though.
You got to.
Or after. I'm
now,
sorry,
of course, to get back to our present time, do you guys still need that 1.21 gigawatts to, you know,
yeah.
you get the bullet.
Yeah, well, I mean, after we're done with the show, we all have to jump back into the DeLorean and fly back.
Oh, gee, we have to go back.
We got the upgraded one. We don't need roads.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, you don't need roads?
We don't need roads.
Okay. Well, you know, they did say 2020 we'd be having flying cars. Yeah. Still waiting for that.
Yeah.
Got my hoverboard in the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know setting up, doing all that good stuff, it's a bit of a challenge, right? You know, also traveling and all that. Also, are the crowds different in each city? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Definitely. Kind of don't know what you're going to get, you know. Most of all the crowds have been very responsive to us.
Yeah.
One that sits back in my mind would have been like Indianapolis.
Oh,
that
yeah.
We were downstairs in this venue, and I don't know if I've played in front of a louder crowd. They were just amazing. But everybody reacts a little different, you know, especially if it's indoor or outdoor.
Right. Even louder than Bogart's? I mean... Bogart's is pretty crazy.
That one.
Bogart's has never really let us down. I don't think.
Every
but,
time I'm there, I can't move. I'm just like, I'm gonna die.
When you get that effect from an out of town or you know a different venue from where you're from, it's pretty overwhelming because they don't know what we're about, you know, and it's pretty cool to see really.
Well, definitely one of our rowdiest crowds. They were a good
Indianapolis.
Crowd.
Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah. What I think is interesting is like you can tell by like the city is like, so we play Bogart's is a good crowd. Indianapolis was a good crowd, but when we went to Philadelphia, I think overall everyone liked us a lot. But like the things that people would react to in Indianapolis or in Cincinnati, like Philadelphia was just like, okay. You know what I mean? Like it's
I'll
just
see
like
you guys. I'll see
I
you
see
out
it,
then.
But yeah, I'm not gonna go nuts. Like you know the people in Cincinnati might. So it's always interesting to see how the crowds react to certain things that we do.
So to go off that actually is a funny story because we were in Philadelphia, right?
Oh no, what are you gonna do? What happened?
No, we're saving some of those other stories. But anyway, no, we were down in Philadelphia and we were playing the show and Nikki was jamming out on some solo or something and this lady was just like giving us the bird or something.
Oh, that's right.
She was giving you the bird or something. I'm like, what's it?
It was the whole show.
The bird, just, you know, catch the balloon.
Oh,
you know, that one.
Okay.
We're going to stay clean on the air.
But
no, she was flipping them off and...
But at least you're just flipping all of us off.
But sure enough, she was like jamming out, taking pictures with us at the end of the show. Like, apparently she loved the show, but...
Well, I don't know if you've seen what I did.
Ah, yes, I did.
I don't know if you've seen what I did, but and this is kind of out of character of me, but you were during We Will Rock You, and she was doing that, and we came in and kind of came into the fast part of it, and so I went over to her and showed her my middle finger.
Oh, Nikki's got a birdie too.
Good job, Nikki. What happened?
She stopped.
She gave him two.
She stopped.
I can never do that to you guys. I'm not like that. I can't do it.
Thank you. It hurt my feelings.
Oh my gosh, I can't do this anymore. Okay, well, okay, so Geddy, here's a question for you. You are now the lead guitar player now.
That's correct, yes.
So what's going through your mind right now? How do you feel about all this happening?
You know, that's a good question. I have no idea how I feel. I mean, it's been a blast learning the songs, and obviously it's different shoes than I'm going to be feeling. I mean, I've been playing bass for so long.
Right.
And I'm going to get up on stage, and it's like, I'm going to be playing, you know, some people listen to bass, some people listen to guitar, they got their own things, but it's like, I got to be playing something completely different. I don't know what the reactions are going to be to that. So I'm super excited to see what's going to happen. Right. I'm a little nervous.
Well, hey, look, I think you're a great bass player, and I think you're a good musician all the way. I mean, I heard you play the violin.
Oh, yeah.
It happened.
It did happen.
Did you play November Rain and all that good stuff?
We'll keep that. We'll keep that.
Guy doesn't want to tell anybody, oh yeah, I play violin.
We've got some stuff coming up. Yeah,
we don't want to give them all surprises, you know.
And Jack, you being the new member of the band,
yeah.
You are the bass player, right?
Yeah, I am.
So how long have you playing bass, man?
I mean, I started playing Guitar Hero when I was like seven. I don't know if that counts, but
good.
I've been seriously playing for about 10 years.
Oh, nice.
Going through like upright and jazz studies and classical studies, and this is way more fun, so. I'm doing this.
So you actually also you study basically, you said classical jazz and all that good stuff.
Yeah, through like CCM.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
that's impressive, man. And then now you're here doing some rock and roll stuff and all that.
Having more fun.
Oh yeah. But who's your influence? Like, who's your favorite guy?
My dad had some like VHS bootlegs of the Chili Peppers when they did a show in Germany. So like watching Flea be up there without a shirt on, I was like. That's so cool, you know?
That guy's crazy.
He gets to play and he gets to have his shirt off, so that's a goal of mine, you know? Yeah.
So wait, your goal is to get up there and take off your shirt and
go
crazy?
Yeah.
It's a very relieving feeling.
It is. It's like free, you know? There's like not, like taking the plastic off your phone screen is the only other thing that compares, you know?
Putting on a new pair of underwear.
Yeah.
What?
It's just like, you just feel good, you know?
Take a drink of McDonald's Coke, like
McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah, McDonald's has the best Coke.
Yes,
by the way.
I agree with
anybody.
I agree with you on that.
Needs to know where to get the best Coke.
Regarding, I need to be careful where what McDonald's I go to. That way, that one guy won't call the cops on me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's a long story. I'm not gonna get into it. All right, so we know that the pandemic has been happening a lot. It's been affecting concerts. It's been affecting a lot of us. You know, how's it affected the band and all of you guys as individual?
As far as the band, it knocked out about, we played two shows this year, and it knocked out about, you know, every other one that we had, like seven or eight of them. Luckily, a lot of those got rescheduled to next year.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a lot of momentum behind us that was going to turn into a very busy summer. And unfortunately, due to all this, it kind of, you know, killed that. But as far as individually, it's definitely given me a reappreciation for this because I couldn't do it. So, like, as much as I loved it before, like, I cannot wait to go load my gear on stage right now. Like, before, I hate that. But, like, I'm going to enjoy every second of today because, you know, you aren't promised. I mean, in general, you're not promised tomorrow, but you're not promised to do this anymore as all the time. Like, you kind of expect and you kind of think how things are going to happen. But it's definitely been eye-opening for me for this going on and just being like, man, like, I really need to, you know, appreciate what I get to do a little bit more than I have, in the past.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely a big thing for me, just making sure I appreciate each and every show that we get, especially from here on out. But, you know, things are going to get a lot better. You know, things are going to clear up. We just got to get through the harsh times right now. But, things are going to clear up. More shows are going to be in the works, and I think we're going to be right back on track. May take a little building, but we're going to get there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. And we've got a few that popped up, like this one here at Riverfront Live, which is going to be really cool. And then we've got a couple other ones that we got for the rest of the year. But in the meantime, we've been kind of staying busy online, like coming up with acoustic videos or coming up with Facebook Live shows and now this podcast that we're going to start doing. Just as ways to, be able to still give people entertainment, even though we can't necessarily always do it on stage right now.
Right.
But we will be back, and we'll be back stronger than ever. And right. And this is the first start of that.
Well, I mean, you guys have doing, again, a lot of online shows a little bit.
Yeah.
I've seen a few of them. You guys are great. And I think it's good that, you know, musicians are still going online any way they can, Facebook, Twitter, or whatever they can use, and, you know, perform there for their fans.
Well, I think some people do this for money, obviously, and some people, some people do music for money, and that's strictly it. I think I can speak for myself that I do this because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get the opportunity to do a Facebook Live or whatever, like I do that because I love doing it. And,
right.
And it's great that I can do something that I love that other people are entertained or can have a good time watching. So to me, it's just a win-win for everything. But don't let me talk the whole time. Let these guys talk.
What about you guys? What do you got?
I agree that, I mean, it's definitely made some unique opportunities, and like we'll get together at Nikki's house and we'll jam out and we'll work on some acoustic videos, and doing that alone I feel like has really helped us improve how we play as musicians in general, just because, you know, when there's just three of us in the room and we're trying to hammer out some guitar stuff, we're like, oh, I didn't know you did this and that part.
Yeah.
You know, let's work off each other and figure out how to make it even better. So having time like this has been great because we can do that.
It's understandable. Yeah.
This is definitely a passion. I mean, you know, the money's good, but the money's not always there.
Right.
I feel like, you know, most of us are probably in it more for a passion than anything. Mm-hmm. But either way, talk about a thrill, you know. It's
it's a rock and roll thrill.
Yeah, I mean, I've played my whole life pretty much, and I haven't been able to quit my job yet, so. But I really enjoy it myself.
We'll have to up our asking price to $4 million instead of $3 million. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It can be tough sometimes.
Well, I don't get paid at all, so. But it's okay. So, you know, with this show coming up, you know, what do we expect from this show?
You can expect everything that you have seen before. We're in a unique spot because this place has a humongous stage. They have an incredible light show that they've got. We've got all of our stuff that we normally bring, and we're just gonna play the same good rock and roll show that we do with all the theatrics and all that good stuff. And
we're gonna try to deliver, if you know, a better product than we ever have as our goal for today.
Yeah, right.
We've got a new pair of boots, so you'll be seeing those up there too.
There it is. Yeah, we know that the crowd's not gonna be as big as like some of our older shows that we've done in the past.
Right.
But that doesn't stop us from giving 110% on stage. We're going to still do that.
Right.
And hopefully the crowd that's here will have a great time with it.
Yeah. And my mom is definitely looking forward to this as well.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Awesome.
I tried getting my other family coming, but they're like, oh, my concert dates are over. I was like, oh,
I think it's going to be a decent show.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a good time.
I look forward to it.
You're going to expect guitars, drums, bass guitars, electric guitars, all sorts
and
of
and a violin?
Vocals, wow. There's some of those.
Yeah, we do some of those.
Do some of those geysers, cold sparks. Oh, yeah, the obvious. Never mind.
So, I'm excited because I know a lot of people have been kind of missing music in general.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of venues have been closed for a while, so I'm just excited to give people a good Saturday evening. Just give them something to enjoy, you know?
I was personally thinking about this on the way here. It's like, if you think about how many musicians and venues are out of work right now, and we're fortunate enough to actually have a show right now.
Exactly.
So that it's, like I said, at the end of the day, I'm not worried about how many people are here. I think we're just blessed that we have the opportunity to perform and do what we love to do.
That's right.
And, I'm excited about it, so.
I definitely am. I'm very excited for this as well. It's been a while since I've been at a concert, and when I found out you guys were still on, I'm like, oh, I'm definitely going to this. So, wait, one last question for all of you. What has been your favorite moment in this band?
There's been quite a few of those.
There's a lot of favorite moments, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot to take in.
I'll go with, if it's okay, I'll start, and we can just work down this line.
Down the road.
Um, One of my, there's, like I said, there's many. So I just off the top of my head, one of the coolest things that I thought that we've got to do was sell out Bogarts or whatever. That was a highlight of, we can have the same one. That's okay. That was incredible because it was something that I had hoped for in my head, you know, and dreamed for, and we've done it almost 3 times now. So it's really, really cool to see that. But the other thing that I thought was really, really cool was we did a live stream in March, I think March or April, and it was hosted by Monsters of Rock Cruise on their page.
Oh, wow.
And as weird as it was to play to, like, nobody, there was 1,000 people that ended up watching the event, right? And Bret Michaels actually tuned in to the event.
Oh, and White Lion too.
Yes, the singer of White Lion tuned in and sent a text
Tramp?
Message. Yeah, sent a text message to the guy at there and told him that they all enjoyed it. So that was really cool.
Wow. Yeah. Well, to go off of that. No, that was definitely one of my favorite moments as well. Was the moment where the first time we sold out Bogarts, and then it was the second time that we sold out Bogarts. It was just as good as the first time. Because, you know, we were hoping, we're like, oh, we're almost right there. It looks like it's going to be a good one. We're like, you know, backstage looking out front, like, I wonder how the line is. I think we even walked around the side just to, like, you know, see where the lines were. Sure enough, there was over 100 people that didn't get into the show, which was very unfortunate. But we were still happy about the sold out show. It was amazing. It was such a good feeling. If I have to sum it up into one, it's probably those shows.
They definitely have. Well, since I'm part of this line, I guess I'll go too. Well, I've always been a fan of the 1970s and 80s music, you know, and I, you know, look up the history and all that, and when I found that about you guys and doing what you did, you know, I had to check you guys out. I honestly, there has not been one bad moment at all. I enjoy every moment with you guys. I've seen you guys perform. I can just definitely tell you guys have a good time. And for some reason, another one of my favorite moments is when, is it you or, I can't remember, but one of you guys get out and do the worm for some odd reason.
Yeah, that's me, yeah.
This man.
I was sitting there like, what's with the worm? Okay.
You know, I don't know why I did it, but I did it. And I do it every show.
Everybody likes it.
Yeah.
He said, why the worm?
Why not the worm?
Why not the worm?
Why not? What about you, Getty?
You know, that's a hard question. I mean, there's been lots of awesome things that have happened that, like, I feel like we're extremely blessed. I mean, all the shows that we've just, it always surprises me because everybody always hopes for success in shows and, you know, not all the time you get it. And just seeing that's cool. And I think another, like, highlight that I have loved seeing is there's a few people that I've met at shows that they love us, and it's like they become part of the family because you see them at every show. I mean, there's dozens of people that come to every single show around this area, and seeing them every time is just awesome. So I think that's a highlight.
Yeah, you're able to, like, make friends through, like, some of the people you get to meet, so that's all, that is cool.
We miss our party people.
Party animals.
Yes, indeed.
Jack, you being a new member, is this your first show with the guys?
This is my first show.
All right.
So, you know, they're all really fun to be around, but...
Don't screw up.
Don't screw up.
Thank you. Thank
no
you.
Mistakes.
I'll keep that in mind. But I gotta say, like, everybody being just really nice was...
Taking a meal out of his country.
That was pretty cool. You know? They're all, like, very fun to be around. And they're all good at playing their instruments.
Right.
And having both of those happen together doesn't... often happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. True.
So I'm really grateful to be here.
You know, I'll chime in since, you know, you're fresh and you've got, you know, new memories to make. I'll chime in and say that the first time we sat down and rehearsed with Jack, everything was perfect.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not even this just saying, true. Like, Jack is an incredible musician and that alone is a sweet memory by itself, but it's like, I didn't know what to expect when we all got together. We hadn't seen each other in, what, like 4 months?
Well, when especially when a new member steps in and they stop after you do a song and they question our parts, like, because it's almost like someone like him is so professional to, you know, maybe we're not playing something right, or, you know, so it was actually kind of cool to go through some of that stuff, but it also felt like we just played yesterday or the day before. It was pretty crazy.
Well, it's good thank to have you in the band, man. Seriously.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
And
I'm really
you?
Excited for tonight.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
You're gonna do the worm with him?
Yeah.
What about you, Ryan? What do you got?
You know, there's lots of moments. Something that stands out to me is, you know, we've done a handful of like meet and greets and stuff, mm-hmm. and you know, wow, the turnout on a few of them, the people that were, you know, that interested in to come in early enough to the gig and to get to know us a little better and everything. I thought that was pretty cool, you know. We did one at JD Legends, I think, and that one really stands out in my mind, you know. To, you know, you step out there and see that as many people as there was stand in a line just to see us early, you know. Things like that I think are really cool.
Definitely.
There's been a bunch of different moments, but that's what sticks out in my mind.
Well, you know, again, it's all good moments with you guys. I always enjoy you guys live. I think you're one of the best live bands I've seen in the Ohio region. Can I say that? Yeah. I'll say that.
Yeah. Right. Ohio International, whatever you think.
We're we're the best band you've seen in Cincinnati tonight.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we unfortunately are a little out of time. We need you guys to get out there and perform in front of your people.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I look forward to it. I really do. And, you know, I thank you guys for getting together to, you know, with this podcast and the interview. I seriously appreciate it. Anyway, I'm Seabass, and this is...
That Arena Rock Show.
Take care and keep rocking.
All right, I gotta break something.
Flip the table.
Gotta flip something over.
All right, let me tell you something here, Mr. Interviewer.